Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today as we continue with our teaching series centered on Bob Christopher's top 10 favorite passages. Now, because this is a study session, we will not be taking live phone calls on the broadcast today, but you can still get a question to us now or anytime at the usual number, 844-322-2742. Or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Either way, we'll be glad to hear from you and promise to give you an answer on the air as soon as possible. But for right now, let's get today's broadcast underway. It's Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages, and today it's 2 Corinthians 3, 6 through 18. And here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This is number 4 on the list. Yep. And really, these aren't in any particular order other than the fact that the Colossians passage that we did 4 weeks ago really is my favorite passage, because that's the passage that God used to change my heart, to really show me the fullness of this gospel message and to let me know that I was fully alive in him and that he was fully alive in me. So the rest of these passages I've just ordered. It's not, this is my second.
Yeah.
But I really like this one because it ties into the passage that we talked about last week, and that's Exodus 33 into chapter 34, when Moses asked the Lord to show him his glory. Mm-hmm. And in this particular chapter, we get to see a little bit more about what that glory is in the person of Jesus Christ. So let's just dive in. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 18. And I've divided this into 4 sections. And the first section is actually just verse 6. And it says this: "He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." So Paul's ministry was a ministry of life. When he went throughout the Roman Empire from city to city, he carried with him the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a minister of the law. He wasn't giving people the lowdown on the Ten Commandments and telling them that, hey, they need to live up to these commandments in order to be made righteous in the sight of God, or so that they could earn eternal life at some point down the future. No, he wasn't a minister of the law at all. He was a minister of the grace of God. And that's exactly what this passage said. So God equipped Paul as a minister of the new covenant. So Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. We know the shining light, the bright light story. And God said to Paul, "I'm setting you apart to send you to the Gentiles, and you're going to suffer for my name." And as soon as he received back his sight and there in Damascus started proclaiming the good news of Jesus, he had to escape for his life. And then God spent a number of years with Paul while he was out in the desert, really equipping him. Well, what did he equip him to do? To be a minister of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Why the new covenant? Because the new covenant gives life. What did the old covenant do? It killed. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So this gospel message, this good news about Jesus Christ, is a message of life. And that's what Paul took to every single city and to every single person that he ministered to, was a message of life. Yeah. Now, that's what we need to be doing as children of God today. Far too often, we bring the law back into the mix to condemn, and if something's wrong, we have to make a statement of condemnation about that very thing. And if we don't, we get judged like crazy. Sure. And it's just ridiculous. No, God has equipped us to bring reconciliation and life into this world. And man, does the world ever need reconciliation and life.
Indeed.
Well, God equipped Paul to do that. And if we follow Paul's examples, then we're going to be ministers of this new covenant as well. And that's what we do here at Basic Gospel. We talk about the new covenant, this new covenant of life that is experienced through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed.
Good stuff, Bob. And friends, we're glad that you're with us to hear it today at Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And as I said, I'm glad you're here. You know, it's Basic Gospel, and this is session for Bob's top 10 favorite passages. Knowing the truth and being reminded of God's love and grace can help you start each day with hope and the incomparable joy of knowing you are a child of God. And we think one of the very best ways for you to do that is to subscribe to our daily devotional. You can start each day with the sure knowledge that you are dearly loved, a child of God. The devotional is free, and you can start your subscription right now at basicgospel.net/subscribe. Again, that's basicgospel.net/subscribe. Now back to Bob Christopher and his favorite passage, number 4 on Basic Gospel.
So 2 Corinthians 3:6-18. This next section is verses 7-11. And I call this the contrast. This is where Paul is taking a look at the old covenant and then comparing and contrasting it to the new covenant. So let me just read these verses. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? So Paul was equipped to be a minister of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And in this particular section, he gives us the why. He fills in the details of that statement in verse 6. So he does it by putting the two side by side and comparing them point by point. So he starts with the ministry of the letter, and he said that ministry brought death. So the wages of sin is death. So if you try to live up to the righteous requirements of the law, you're going to fail. Everyone is going to fail. No one can live up to the righteous requirements of the law. So we receive the punishment of the law. The wages of sin is death. So the ministry, that ministry of the law is a ministry of death. Now, some will say, well, what exactly is he talking about? What ministry of the letter is he talking about? Well, he's saying those things that were engraved in letters on stone. That's what he's talking about. Well, what were the commandments? What was the law that was engraved in letters on stone? Well, it was the Ten Commandments. You look back in the Old Testament, Exodus 24:12, you see Moses with two tablets. What were those two tablets? Well, those contain the Ten Commandments. We see that in chapter 31, verse 18, chapter 34, verses 1 through 4. And this passage in chapter 34 of Exodus is Moses bringing up two new tablets. Why? Because he had broken the first two because of the disobedience of the people. And we also see in Deuteronomy 4:13, 5:22, chapter 9, verses 9 through 11, chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, and chapter 27, verses 1 through 8, that this old covenant was etched in letters on stone. So we know exactly what Paul was talking about, that he identifies the letter as the Mosaic covenant or the law, those things that were engraved in stone. So that law is a ministry of death. It did come with glory, and it came with glory. Why? Because it came from God. It was the very finger of God that etched those commandments on those tablets of stone.
Yeah.
So it came with glory. And last week we saw that when Moses met with God and asked to see his glory, and that actually happened, that glory radiated the very face of Moses. And when he came down to the people, they were frightened by the shine on his face.
Right.
So he had to veil his face so they wouldn't be frightened. So that was the glory. And so that old covenant came with glory. it also was a ministry of condemnation. So it's a ministry of death. It's a ministry that brought condemnation. And that's exactly what the law does, isn't it?
Yes.
So when you look at the first commandment, have no other gods before me, or the 10th commandment that says, don't covet your neighbor's things, you're toast. Mm-hmm. You know that you haven't lived up to that. And so that law speaks a word of condemnation into your life. It says you are guilty of violating these righteous requirements.
Right.
So it brings condemnation. But here's the good news. This law, this old covenant, was temporal. As the NIV says, it was transitory.
Yeah.
It was serving a purpose for a specific period of time. So that was the old covenant. Now here's the new covenant, the ministry of the Spirit. So Paul says that old covenant came with glory. What about this ministry of the Spirit? It is even more glorious. It is a ministry that brings righteousness. No one will be declared righteous through obedience to the law. No, rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. We are given the very knowledge of what true sin is. So we're not going to be made righteous through obedience to the law. The Spirit has to bring righteousness to us. Now, this particular passage, 2 Corinthians 3, 6 through 18, really ties into the next couple of chapters and ends in 2 Corinthians 5, 21, where we see that God made him who knew no sin, Jesus, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So when we turn to Christ by faith and receive this ministry of the Spirit brings righteousness to us. The Spirit makes us righteous. So this ministry of the Spirit far exceeds the ministry of the law. And boy, is that good news to us.
Yes, indeed.
Now, the ministry of the law was temporary. It ended at the cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus fulfilled it in its entirety. So it was time-stamped. It began at Mount Sinai. It ended at Mount Calvary. Now, the spiritual purpose remains until it teaches us our need for Christ and we turn to Christ by faith. So it lasts in our lives from the time we're born until the time we're born again.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends. And now we're under the ministry of the Spirit. And this ministry of the Spirit is eternal. So it's more glorious. It's like the sun in the morning, the glory of the sun. And you see, sometimes you can see the moon, and it just pales in comparison to the glory of that sun. And that's the old covenant to the new covenant. So we have something that is more glorious, something that brings righteousness, and something that is eternal in this new covenant. Not a ministry of condemnation and death, but a ministry of life.
Yes.
And talk about good news. That's good news.
That is good news. It is session four of Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages, and we're going to pause for just a moment to remind everyone that Basic Gospel has many resources to help you understand and live in the incredibly good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Gospel. You'll find them when you visit the store under resources at basicgospel.net. Keep in mind, too, that neither these resources nor the radio program would be available without your help, so please help us keep the good news coming. Click donate at basicgospel.net and make your gift today. That's basicgospel.net. Now, again, this is session four of Bob's top 10 favorites. And so, again, let's continue, Bob. And we're looking at 2 Corinthians 3, 6 through 18.
Well, we're going to jump right into verses 12 through 16. And we're going to learn about New Covenant, what it means to us. And Paul just starts right out of the chute and says, therefore, since we have such hope, we are very bold. There was no hope under the law. If it's a ministry of condemnation and death, that leaves you hopeless.
Yeah.
There's no way to be made righteous through obedience to the law. There's no way to make yourself alive together with Christ through your good works, through your human effort. Mm-hmm. You just don't have what it takes to save yourself. So we need the ministry of the Spirit to do that. So the ministry of the Spirit brings life and righteousness to us, and that gives us hope. We have hope beyond the grave. We know that when we are absent from this body, we're going to be present with the Lord. We know that our future is forever with the Lord. That's good news.
Yes.
So since we have such hope, then we can be bold. You're not going to be bold under the law. Why? Because you know your weakness. You know your failures. You know that you can't live up to it, and no one else can. So you're not going to be very bold in your proclamation to people to say, come, follow the law like I do.
Yeah.
And let's be miserable together.
Right.
Let's commiserate in our failures. But that's the hopelessness of the law, but not in this new covenant. We have great hope in this new covenant, and because of that, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So what are we bold about? Pointing people to Jesus Christ, not to ourselves, not to our goodness, not to our good works, but pointing people to Jesus Christ and the work that he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah.
So we are bold about proclaiming Jesus Christ. Now, Moses, he put a veil over his face. He didn't want the people to see that the glory that was there was fading away.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul makes some pretty bold comments about the old covenant. And you wouldn't think he would make these comments, but yet he does. He said, their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. So if you're reading the Word of God in hopes of finding eternal life through your good works, there's going to be a veil that covers your eyes so that you're not able to see the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus encountered some Pharisees, and he said to them this very thing: you diligently search the Scriptures in hopes that in them you will find eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the Scriptures that talk about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life.
For life, yeah.
So what was he saying to those Pharisees? Exactly what Paul is saying here, that a veil covered their eyes. They were unable to see the real story of the Bible. And the real story of the Bible is Jesus Christ and the life that we can have in him through faith. That's the story of the Bible. And whenever we're reading it to see, find out the things that we need to do in order to gain eternal life, we're going to have veiled eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, with those veiled eyes, our minds are going to be made dull. And that's exactly right. Legalism makes us dull in our minds. So when we're trying to earn righteousness through good works, man, we're missing the mark.
You're off base.
Our minds are going to be made dull, and we're going to have eyes covered with a veil. So how is this veil removed? It is removed only in Christ.
Yeah.
So when we finally come to that point in our lives where we see that we're totally incapable of saving ourselves, that we have absolutely nothing to add that we can bring to the table, that's when that veil is going to be lifted and we can see the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. So whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So what did Paul boldly proclaim? Who did Paul boldly proclaim? Jesus Christ. Why? Because in Christ is life. And when you turn to Christ, you can see clearly the plan of God for you forever.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel, and we're glad you've joined us today for Bob's favorite passages, 10 of them, as a matter of fact. Today is number 4, and Bob, let's just keep going. This is good.
So 17 and 18, and then we'll finish up. Yeah. So here's what those two verses say. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So not only is this ministry of the new covenant, this ministry of the Spirit, a ministry of life, it's a ministry of freedom. Yeah. There is no freedom under the law. You are still captive to sin and death. Sin is your master under the law. When you are released from that through faith in Jesus Christ, now you're under grace and you're led by the Spirit. And being led by the Spirit is freedom. The Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So where is the Spirit of the Lord as far as you as a believer are concerned? The Spirit of the Lord is in you.
Yes.
Christ Jesus has come to live inside of you. God has sent his Spirit to take up residence in you. Why? So that you could experience freedom. He set you free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He wants you to experience that freedom on a day-to-day basis. So it's not going to happen under the ministry of the letter. It's going to happen under the ministry of the Spirit. So if you want to be free in your walk with Christ, walk in the Spirit. That's where freedom is to be found.
Yeah.
And it says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. We see it as in a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be transformed into his image. And that Greek word is the word icon, and we get our word icon.
Yeah.
From that very word.
I picked right up on
that's
that.
That's exactly right. So it's an image or representation. So we're reflecting the image of Christ. We're being transformed into his image, and then we're reflecting that image out into the world. And talk about a purpose. That is a grand purpose. So that's the work of the Spirit in our lives. So as we see the glory of God in the face of Christ and experience the ministry of the Spirit, we're going to see transformation take place in our lives. As we grow in our knowledge of Christ, as we grow in the grace of God, that transformation is going to be evident out there in the world. Talk about just an incredible purpose, an incredible vocation for us as children of God.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. And it only comes through the ministry of the new covenant. We can't mix these two.
Yeah.
If we try to mix the old with the new, we're going to lose the purpose of the old and the power of the new. So we have to keep them separate. We have to recognize that we were under the law lost, and the law did its work to show us our need. We turned to Christ and received him. The law stepped aside, and now we're fully under the ministry of the Spirit, this life-giving, freeing, liberating ministry of the Spirit of God.
I'm beginning to see why these are your favorite passages. Very, very good insights, Bob.
Thank you
for that. And friends, thank you for being with us today for Session 4 on our Friday study series based on Bob Christopher's top 10 favorite passages. We'll go for number 5 next week at this time, but if you have questions about anything you hear or have heard on Basic Gospel, the phone line is always open for you at 844-322-2742. We love hearing from you, and we'll be glad to address your question on Basic Gospel. So give us a call anytime at 844-322-2742 and just leave a voicemail. Also, please remember the need of your support for this ministry. If Basic Gospel is making a difference in your life, help us keep this good news coming by supporting Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. You can donate at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back with us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.